This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, for this introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room here at BPN Radio, at Seismic Radio. What is the purpose of the Christian War Room? It is not to do warmongering in a secular sense, in a worldly sense. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against against people as such. On the contrary, we are reaching out to people, and we are wanting people to come to an understanding of the truth, and we are fighting for the truth. 2 Corinthians talks about that we are waging war against any stronghold that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There's a knowledge of God which is important. We need to understand who He is, and we need to stick to the revelation of God which we have in our day and in our age. And let me just come straight to the point. The revelation of God is not, you know, some guy who stands at the corner. It may be some guy who stands at the corner, but not necessarily who stands at the corner and has got great words to say. The revelation of God is not some amazing stuff where, you know, somebody just gets a clever idea and is there. Somebody has got some special revelation. The revelation of God is the Word of God. It's the Bible. The revelation of God we have today is the Bible. Now, if you can read, and if you've got access to technology, even if you can't read very well or you're not an avid reader, you can listen to the Word of God. It's all available for you today. It's all available for you today. And anyway, I would like to recommend that you take time and really go into the Word of God. And Seismic Radio, if you go there, if you go and tune in, I'm not quite sure whether the channels are present. I should really check it out before I go here on air. We have got a 24/7 Bible reading, Old Testament, New Testament. If you go to BPN Radio, you can access those sites. You go to BPN Radio, you click on Old Website, you scroll down to the bottom, and there are two streams which read the Bible 24/7. So there's one for the New Testament, one for the Old Testament. The same is if you go to seismicradio.org. And you look around the website, you will find those streams as well. I'm not sure whether they're on the portal page. I don't remember, but they may be. So go for it. You know, read the Bible, surround yourself with the Word of God, and just go through it. It's exciting. It's good. It's nourishing. And it's something which we need to do in some form or another. Listen to people who talk about the Word of God. Okay. That being said, we are now talking about a scripture. It's sometimes a very sensitive issue, and I have to be very careful what I say here, because some people are very sensitive in this area. So I have to say at this point that whatever is said here on BPN Radio may or may not represent the view of the management of BPN Radio. Okay, let me just read to you a scripture here. And Paul talks in Romans chapter 14 about, you know, the freedom we have in Christ. And he says here, "Receive for one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or he falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose, and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Okay, a little bit of text. We have got two issues here. One of them is the eating of meat. Yeah, and again, we need to sort of quickly go to the Roman Empire and sort of imagine a little bit what the Roman Empire was like. And if you ate meat, very often the meat was sacrificed to idols. So if you went to the butchers, you went to the temple where an animal was slaughtered in homage for a god, and then you would buy the meat, and there wasn't pretty much any other way. If you lived in a city somewhere, there wasn't pretty much any other way to get hold of meat. So you were forced to go to the temple to buy meat. No, you are a Christian. You don't believe in these gods. Or the demons, you don't want to pay homage to them, but what you do is you nevertheless, you know, you buy the meat. Maybe you do it secretly or sneakily, and you drop into the temple, buy the meat, get out, and go home. Or you know, you've got really, you know, you really struggle with your conscience about this whole thing, And you decide to just eat vegetables. Yeah, just eat vegetables. I've got a Jewish colleague of mine, and Jewish dietary law is quite complex. Yeah, so you have to have the meat separate from the milk and from the cheese and things like that. So in a typical Orthodox Jewish household, you would have several fridges to make sure that you can comply with the dietary laws. And the colleague I had, he was just telling me that it was just too much for them, so they decided to just live vegetarian, not to eat meat at all, because it's just too much hassle. So it wasn't really, you know, some self-righteous attempt of, you know, I'm better than you because I don't eat meat, but it was just too much hassle for them, and they thought that, you know, him and his wife, they thought that life would be a lot easier to just abstain from eating meat. Okay, I'm not wanting to talk predominantly about, you know, eating setups, but what we can find here in Romans is where Paul pretty much says, don't worry about it, you know, this is not what Christianity is all about, don't worry about it. And then he goes to the next bit and he says, one person esteems one day above another esteems every day alike, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it to the Lord, and he does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Again, a very important point, and we've got this throughout Christianity. We've got the question about when should we worship? Is it a Saturday or a Sunday? What about Easter? Yeah, we've got three different Easter dates. We've got the Jewish Passover dates. We've got the Orthodox dates, and then we've got the Western Christian dates, which are all calculated slightly differently, and there are reasons for that. And I just want to go through those reasons slightly, and then the big question is, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to celebrate it? Are we not going to celebrate it? Are we going to celebrate the Passover? Are we not going to celebrate the Passover? Are we going to celebrate the Eastern Orthodox way of doing it? Or are we going to go with the Western Orthodox, with the Western Christianity, with the Catholic holiday? Big question. And again, I wanted to mention this scripture to start off with, to say that, you know, according to Paul, it's not really an issue. You know, it doesn't matter. And I tend to agree with that. Christianity is not... Christians are always a minority. You know, you're living by default. I mean, that's what Jesus said, that only very few find the narrow way. And so by default, you're living in societies which are tend to be anti-Christian. And today, in our day and age, possibly more than ever before. So if you suddenly decide to have certain holidays and to celebrate those holidays, it depends where you live. If you live in Saudi Arabia, you're going to struggle. You may not be able to take time off work to celebrate those days. You may not be able to attend church on a Sunday, because Sunday is a normal working day in Saudi Arabia and also in Israel. Yeah. So it's a bit of a problem. It's a little bit of a problem what we're dealing with here. And yet Paul makes it very, very easy, and he says, don't worry about it, you know, it's okay, yeah, it's okay. Okay, what are we doing here in the war room discussing this subject? Number one is, we need to get a good understanding of what the Bible says. We need to get a good understanding of what the Bible has to say about this issue. Yeah. And secondly, we need to get an understanding where all these different dates come from. And that's, you know, what we're going to tidy up a little bit. And also, you know, if you ever get challenged on this, that we can maybe just refer to Romans chapter 14 and point people to the scripture here and say, look, you know, it is not a big issue. Okay. Right. I tell you a little bit of a personal story and then feed this into it. When I was a young Christian, I came out of Catholicism. So for me, anything which smelt of Catholicism was pretty bad. Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with that. And anyway, I had a sort of a calendar which I got every year. Even as a sort of a young Christian, I carried this tradition on. And this calendar had all sorts of holidays in there. So all the Western holidays were in there as well, but also Jewish holidays, which was quite interesting. And amongst my friends, we had a tradition that when the Jewish Passover came that weekend, we would go to a restaurant and have some lamb to celebrate, you know, in some way the Passover. Obviously not in a Jewish way. We weren't, you know, using unleavened bread and things like that, but just sort of recognizing, marking a day. And it was just a tradition which we had amongst ourselves. We were just a bunch of friends, Christian friends, who got together and, put some money together, and we had a meal in a restaurant, eating some lamb, you know, in commemoration of the Passover, of the Lamb of God that was slain. And pretty much that was it. Yeah? And then in big rebellion, I tended to ignore the Catholic Passover, and to the disgust of my family. But again, you know, how do we deal with this? You know, what do we do? Where does it all come from? Where do those dates come from? One thing as well is that sometimes the dates or the weekends between Easter and Passover were coinciding, but sometimes they weren't, and there was quite a difference in there. When I sort of got to learn a little bit about Russian Christians, and I was together with Orthodox Christians or people from the Orthodox heritage in Eastern Europe, it was different as well, and it took me some time to try and understand and to figure out why their holidays are different to our holidays. And sometimes it can be up to a month between the Easter dates in the West and the Easter dates in the East. We've got other festivals as well, which again are very doubtful. Obviously, Pentecost is just linked to Easter, so it's just like so many days after Easter. But then we've got Christmas as well, and Christmas, to be fair, in early Christianity wasn't really celebrated. It became more and more important as time went on. And when you look at the festivities, they pretty much were just taken over from pagan traditions, which happened about the winter solstice. We've got the Yule Day, we've got Saturnalia, we've got the Mithras cult, they've got some dates around there, and we've got Sola Invictus, the unconquerable sun, all dates, all celebrations, pagan celebrations, which were around that date. And when we sort of analyze Christian Christmas traditions, very often they've got nothing to do with Christianity, but they've got something to do with pagan tradition. Yeah. It is very important to kind of recognize this. So when I became a born-again Christian, I never really was a great friend of Christmas. I mean, I went along with the family, and I didn't want to be the Scrooge, but sort of this whole cult around Christmas, you know, singing to a tree and all this stuff, I wasn't really into it, and I wasn't really interested in it either. You know? I'm not sort of, I'm just sitting at my desk here, and I've got a plastic Christmas tree with the tiny one, you know, these desktop ones, with fiber optic lightning, and winter is a very trist time, and I turn it on as a decorative thing, but it's not a big Christmas thing for me as well. I think I'm supposed to clear it away in January and get it back out sometime in December, and some people are really hot on this. I'm not doing this. But again, you know, let's go back to what Paul is saying. Let's go back to what Paul is saying. You know, some people, you know, esteem one day above another, others esteem every day alike. And that's very, very important to just bear this in mind. So there are people who, and I've got a couple of friends. Some friends are quite extreme, you know. They put Christmas trees up and they've got lots of decoration on there. And it's a big thing for them. I mean, to me, I think I would just be too lazy because I'm just a bloke. I don't see the point in decorating your room to the brim to only take it down 4 weeks later. And I don't really get that much pleasure or enjoyment out of it anyway. But I know some of my friends, you know, especially female friends, say they are very, very keen on this and it's very important for them. You know, is it okay? Is it not okay? I think, you know, why not just go ahead with it? Just make sure it doesn't go, you know, beyond a certain point. It doesn't go crazy. But again, you know, some esteem one day higher than another and others don't. And I'm just one of those who don't. Okay, so that's the birth of Christ. That's Christmas. Yeah. Now, when we go to Easter, we've got like a whole different story. We've got a lot of traditions which are anti-Christian and are just derived from paganism. We've got the Easter bunny and the Easter eggs and the bunny laying eggs. And it's a pagan tradition. I briefly tell you where this tradition comes from. Apparently, the goddess Estera, that's where the term Easter comes from, which was celebrated about, you know, the mid-March. Everything comes back to life and we've just... I mean, this obviously these programs are recorded. We are just 10 days on the other side of the 21st of March. And you can see that things are changing. You know, the days are getting longer. I'm living on a fairly high latitude. I don't know, I think it's 50 degrees or something. No, can't be. But anyway, it's fairly high. And so the days visibly become longer, and you notice it. The temperatures, they start warming up again. The chill of winter is over. So when it drops down to about 1 degree, 2 degrees, or, you know, really, really cold, it doesn't stick. You know, the day comes in and it warms up and so on. And you can see that nature is coming back again. Anyway, 21st of March, therefore, was quite an important date for, you know, people in agriculture, people who are agriculturally oriented, and things sort of go better. And the thing about it, the Easter time is that the goddess Estera came, and apparently a bird had a broken wing and couldn't fly to the south. I think that's the story. I hope I get it right. And the story goes that this goddess took pity on this bird and... interesting as well, you know, why not heal the wing and the bird can fly off? But anyway, the bird made a transformation or metamorphosis, I think it's called. I'm not sure what the term is. Anyway, the bird morphed into a rabbit, you know, with a big fur, and the rabbit could survive the winter. But this morphing didn't work 100%, so the rabbit, who formerly used to be a bird, is now laying eggs. Yeah, and anyway, the rabbit survived the winter, and the rabbit stroke bird survived the winter and was really happy. And in gratitude to this goddess, the rabbit laid some eggs and presented them as a sacrifice to the goddess, being thankful for the survival in the winter. So that is the story of the goddess Estera. I'm not sure, I've read it in some New Age booklet where this comes from, which was fairly anti-Christian, and that's where I got the story. Is it true? I mean, is it mythical? Is this what the old Romans believed when these festivals were believed? I don't know. But we end up with this weird thing with rabbits and eggs, which, you know, show them to me in the Bible. I'm kind of thinking, is the rabbit is mentioned in the dietary plan in the Bible, but that's about all in the Old Testament. There's no rabbit in the New Testament or anything like that. But anyway, that's where it comes from. What we found is with the first couple of hundred years with the Christians, when I was reading up on it, in the first, you know, couple of hundred years, what Christians used to do to work out when Easter was, bearing in mind they had the Roman calendar, they didn't have the Jewish calendar. So they asked the Jewish neighbors and they said, look, you know, guys, when do you celebrate your Passover? And when they celebrated the Passover on the Friday, then they would use the Sunday, the Resurrection Day, as the Easter festival. So the big thing for us is not, you know, Jesus died on the cross and was crucified, which is a bigger thing because at that point, you know, he paid for all of our sins. But But we celebrate the time when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that's where, you know, Sunday as the Lord's Day comes from, where we celebrate the Lord's Day as a Sunday, which is his resurrection day, the first day of the week. And that's where partly, you know, the Sword Sunday thing came from, where we congregate on a Sunday to celebrate his resurrection. And that's really the greatest message that there is in Christianity. If Jesus had stayed in the grave like Muhammad has, like, I mean, we don't know what's happened to Buddha, and nobody knows what has happened. But many other religious leaders as well, they are marked graves where they are. Yeah? If he had stayed in the grave, our faith would be dead. But he was raised from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And there are witnesses who proclaim this, and there were people ready to lay down their lives. Just to remind you, from those 12 apostles we had, one committed suicide, 11 were left. Yeah, of those 11, there's only one who died a natural death, and that was John. All the others were martyred, were murdered. And it's quite sort of shocking as well that the people say, oh, you know, these guys, they were just imposters, they didn't really know what they were talking about. And I'm sure, you know, you don't die for a lie. Yeah? You don't put your life down for a lie. These guys knew what they were talking about. They knew Jesus. They had seen him ascend into heaven. They had seen him after his resurrection. And they knew. They knew. And then we've got Paul as well. You know, you could make the argument, if Paul was the replacement for Judas, then he, you know, had to pay with his life for his faith as well. And all he had to base it on was just a vision from heaven. That's all. Again, you know, just to make the point, those guys were, they knew what they wanted. And when you look in the first couple of centuries, you know, church leaders was pretty much if somebody said to you, you want to run this church, you want to become a pastor, you might as well said, you know, you want to die for your faith. Are you ready to die for your faith? That was pretty much the cost, you know, the probable cost you had to pay in the first 300 years of Christianity. And a lot of stuff, you know, the festivities and things like that, they come from that period of time. So what was happening with all those dates in the first 300 years? The Christians would just ask their Jewish neighbors and work out, because the Jews were still observing the Jewish calendar. The Roman, or people in the Roman Empire, were observing the Julian calendar, so slightly different. And so they would figure out when they were celebrating it, and then they just went on a Sunday and they celebrated Easter after the Passover. The rift between Christianity and Judaism became bigger and bigger over the centuries. And then in 325, we had the Council of Nicaea, and they decided we need to get away from the Jewish calendar thing, because none of the Christians were observing the Jewish calendar. And you know, Jews weren't all over the place that you could just relate to them. So they decided to have this system where, I think it's the Sunday after the first full moon, after the equinox, which is the 21st of March. Then you've got the astronomical equinox, and then clerical, or is it celestial? The clerical equinox, or the church equinox, which can be different as well, because the day shifts slightly. Anyway, so then this date is calculated, and that's valid for all the churches. And that was good until 1583, then we had to shift between the Julian calendar from Julius Caesar. They recognized we've got a problem here, and we are gradually, you know, moving into the season. So all the equinox and the solstice and things like that, they didn't work anymore. And they had a correction in the calendar by, I think it was roughly by about 2 weeks or something. And suddenly we had in the West under Gregory, in 1583, the Gregorian calendar, and then in the East we had still the Julian calendar. And so what we find then is that the East is still using the Julian calendar, and they're using the Julian calendar equinox to calculate Easter, and in the West we use the Gregorian calendar. And so that's the reason why we've got different dates for East and West. Including Christmas as well. Christmas in the East is sometime in January. I think it's about the 7th or 8th of January. So everything is slightly shifted about. Is it an issue? That's the first question. And the answer clearly is no, it's not an issue. Yeah, if you go, if you just rely on Romans, and maybe God in his wisdom has decided, you know, I have to have Romans 14 in here to just make sure it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. You know, you can celebrate when you want it. You know, even Michael, being a young Christian, going back to the Jewish Passover and then the Sunday after, which the first Christians in the first three centuries, I didn't know that at the time, by the way, which the Christians in the first three centuries did anyway. That's okay. You can do that. Yeah, you can choose to do this and just mark this day. Or why not mark all of these days? Why not mark the resurrection of Christ and God sacrificing his son, the Lamb of God, on the Jewish Passover, on the Gregorian Passover, you know, following the Gregorian calendar, and then maybe following the Julian calendar as well, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do this in all 3 days. It is the greatest event in the universe, what happened. And really, we should commemorate it every time. In a way, we do whenever we take the Lord's Supper and we take of the bread and the wine, we commemorate what Jesus did for us on the cross. And celebrating Passover is just like one special time a year where you focus on this as well. Same maybe with Christmas as well. It is highly unlikely that Jesus was born on the 25th. We can see this from the context within the Gospels. The shepherds were sleeping on the fields. They wouldn't do this. They wouldn't sleep on the fields. Even in Israel and Jerusalem, it gets quite cold in those days, around about Christmas time. Also, there would have never been a census around about that time because people would have had to move. So the census was most likely either before the sowing time, before sowing took place, so that would have been early spring, or after the harvest time, that would have been sort of September, October, around about there. So we don't know really when it happened, and it's just written in mystery. We can possibly take from the census data, you know, historical evidence, and make some judgments of when the birth of Christ could have taken place. But it's highly likely that it wasn't on the 25th of December or the 24th of December. Again, there's even a difference between the German and British tradition there, or Anglo-Saxon tradition. Okay, anyway, whatever you believe, whatever traditions you have, whichever way you go, you know, and the important thing is don't judge others, don't look down on them, you know, don't upset others with that, you know, just accept that they are doing it a certain way. It doesn't matter, and that is the important thing. Okay, we're here in the Christian Ballroom, and the message here is try and figure out, you know, where all these dates come from. Give people an answer, you know, who want to have an answer. I could imagine that many Muslims think that this is very confusing, what we are doing within Christianity, but there's a reason for it as well. But then the key is, the main answer is that, you know, God has said in his word, and, you know, through his servant Paul, that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. You celebrate it whenever you want. You observe days as you wish to do so. And whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Don't do it for yourself. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that you have done great things and that we can look in the Bible and there are so many events and so many things we can celebrate and we can commemorate. I want to praise you for the times as Christmas, for times as Easter, where we can celebrate the resurrection and that this great sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins has been completed, and that you shouted out and screamed on the cross, "It is done. It is done." Lord, I want to praise you, Lord, that our sin problem, it is done and dealt with, and you have done it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.